Chapter 4. Becoming More Erotic with Each Other. Mark and Miranda are about to have sex for the first time, and Mark is a little bit anxious. Mark is a born salesman who likes to close his deals fast and doesn't leave his customers much room for deliberation. He's the same way about sex. Right now, he wants to have intercourse with Miranda. He wants to close the deal in the same way that he is accustomed to operating in his working world. It doesn't take a sexual genius to know that Mark's style doesn't leave much room for foreplay or erotic exploration. Ted and Deborah have been married for 15 years. They have sex 2 or 3 times a week, and for the most part, they are both sort of satisfied with their sex life. In fact, they consider themselves lucky because they are still attracted to each other. The biggest problem with Ted and Deborah's sex life is that they have a sexual routine which never varies. It's almost as though they don't have a clue about what else they could be doing sexually. I'm not talking about positions, because sometimes Ted is on top and sometimes Deborah is on top. What I'm talking about is arousal and excitement and sensual exploration, not to mention conversation and communication. They are rarely really erotic with each other. They have rarely really talked about sex in a personal, "when you touch me here, I feel that" kind of way. Ted, for example, is still not 100% sure how to give Deborah an orgasm, and she's never been specific enough. Here's a sexual misstep that most of us have taken. We move straight to intercourse without ever doing enough touching. We move straight to intercourse without doing enough talking to each other about sex, for that matter. What this means is that we never get to fully explore each other's sexuality. In the process, we often bypass being sensually erotic. This is like reaching one's destination, but missing the journey. After all, isn't getting there at least half the fun? Keep this in mind if you and your partner are just beginning a sexual relationship. If you start out on the right foot, you won't have to be concerned about establishing sexual habits that are limited and limiting. For couples who have been having sex for years, not to worry. You can still back up and take those wonderful side trips you missed. In this way, you get a second chance to find out about each other's bodies and preferences. I know that couples can improve and heighten sexual intimacy, no matter how long they have known each other. For all of us, sex can be an entirely different and significantly more exciting experience. Erotic touching. Erotic touch is what sex is all about. Your hand touches her thigh. Her hand caresses your upper arm. You come closer and feel the length of your bodies touching. Your hand touches her clitoris. Her hand strokes your scrotum. Her mouth touches your penis. Your mouth touches her breast. Your penis touches her vagina. Touch. We make love by touching one another. When I talk about sex, I often start with information about sensate focus exercises. Sensate focus exercises were first developed by the famous sex researchers Masters and Johnson. They were originally used as a way to help couples who were having sexual difficulties. In its early days, couples using sensate focus were advised to do the following. One partner was active in that he or she was doing the pleasing and touching, while the passive partner gave feedback. Many sex therapists have gone on not only to use the exercises, but to adapt them. My colleagues and I next began to advise the active partner to become more aware of what he or she was feeling, in this way removing some of the pressure from the passive partner to respond. In recent years, in my own work, I've adapted these exercises further. Don't let the name sensate focus mislead you. I realize it doesn't sound very sexy, but it is. This can be a totally sensual experience. I firmly believe that every single one of us can improve our sex lives by learning more about sensate focus and applying that knowledge to our own lives. Sensate Focus tells you to caress your partner's body with a light, slow, sensual touch. At this point, you are probably thinking, okay, so what's new about that advice? What's new about Sensate Focus is that the method asks you to concentrate all your attention on what you are feeling in your fingertips and skin. This is about the act of touching as a means of giving oneself pleasure. Yes, when you touch your partner, she will get pleasure also, but that's not where your focus should be. Your focus is on the pleasure you are receiving from what you are doing. Couples in counseling who are given Sensate Focus exercises as homework are told to take turns touching each other. One partner assumes an active role while the other is passive. They are advised to stay silent and simply focus on the touch. The passive partner is encouraged to not do anything except enjoy the touch. The active partner is told to enjoy touching. Both partners are also told to concentrate on the exact point of contact where the fingers and skin make contact and to notice what feelings, positive and negative, come up. For those of you who have ever meditated, you will notice that these instructions are similar to those given for meditation. Whether you are the passive or the active partner, stay aware and in the moment and free your mind of everything but the sensation. Touch is an essential part of lovemaking, and although we can touch each other in a myriad ways, we usually start with the hands. Women love men who know how to use their hands. Some men have an instinctive gift for touch. Others are less moving. I once heard a woman named Linda say, "He thinks he's giving me pleasure, but all he's giving me is rope burn." Linda didn't want to hurt her partner's feelings, and she didn't know how to stop him and tell him what to do. Linda is not unusual. Too often, women complain to their friends about being touched the wrong way, but say nothing to their partners. The principles of Sensate Focus will show you how to use your hands to caress your partner. Remember, relaxation plus touch equals arousal. Learn her erogenous zones. Erogenous zones are those areas of the body that have a lot of nerve endings. When these places are touched, stroked, and caressed, you feel aroused and turned on. The most obvious example is the genitals. I think the head of the clitoris has something like 8,000 nerve endings. The head of the penis has about half that many. The lips and the fingertips are also rich in nerve endings. Many women say that every inch of their skin is a potential erogenous zone. Is there a woman alive who isn't turned on when a man caresses her face and neck, and all the facial erogenous zones like the eyelashes, lips, and earlobes? I don't think so. As you start to touch your partner's body, keep in mind that every part of her skin has nerve endings, as do your fingertips. Think of it all as one big erogenous zone. Caressing her breasts. Back in my mother's day, before the sexual revolution, a guy would take a girl to the movies, put his arm around her shoulders, and gradually let his hand inch down so he could touch her breasts, over her clothes. A couple might be dating 6 months to a year before the girl allowed such familiarity. It was a really big deal. This wasn't just some perfunctory stroking on the way to intercourse. Touching the breasts was the goal. The men and women I know who were dating at that time say that it was exquisitely exciting and pleasurable. The facts about women's breasts. Until puberty, there is no real difference in breast development between boys and girls. But then, the release of estrogen and progesterone into the female body starts to create dramatic changes in the breast. Female breasts are composed of glands or lobules, milk ducts, fat, and connective tissue. The nipples themselves are rich in nerve endings which contribute to both sensitivity and pleasure. The brownish-tinged area surrounding the nipple is called the areola. The glandular tissue in the breast tends to swell and become more sensitive and tender just prior to a woman's monthly menstruation. Just as breasts come in different shapes and sizes, there is also incredible variation in how women respond to breast stimulation. Some gauge their response level to having their nipples sucked at zero to minimal, but many more truly love having their breasts fondled, kissed, and stroked. Some women say that when their nipples are sucked, they feel as though there is a direct link going from their nipples straight down to their clitoris. They say that when their nipples are sucked, the clitoris gets hard and they begin to lubricate. There are even women who have reported that they are sometimes able to have orgasms when a man uses his hands and mouth to stimulate their breasts. Also be aware that a woman's response to breast stimulation can vary depending upon where she is in her monthly menstrual cycle. When it comes to touching a woman's breasts, here are some suggestions. Be aware of how sensitive her breasts can be. If you nibble, do it very, very gently, and only if you know she likes it. Don't suck too hard or bite unless she requests it. Do kiss the tops of her breasts when she's wearing a low-cut top or bra. Few women can resist this. Do cup her breasts from underneath to give them support while you play with them. Don't squeeze, knead, pull, tug, or pinch. Do compliment her breasts. Something simple like, "Your breasts are lovely," never goes out of style. If there is something specific about them you really like, tell her. For example, "I love the way your skin feels around your nipples." Unless it's a total lie, try to emphasize the word "your." Don't say, "God, I love breasts." Do say, "God, I love your breasts." Don't rub the palm of your hand over her nipples. This is as irritating as riding a bike while wearing a shirt that chafes your nipples. Don't twist her nipples as though they are radio dials. If you are passionate about her breasts, don't be afraid to show it. Passionate women love passion in all its forms. This is the single biggest turn-on. If her breasts give you an erection, tell her. If you fantasize about her breasts, let her know about it. Touching her genitals. So let's assume that you and your sexual partner have ended up in a horizontal position and you would like to explore her genitals. You have some choices here. If her panties are still on, should you fondle her clitoris through the fabric or reach into them through the top? Should you both get naked? Should you leave the lights on or turn them off? As far as the lights on-off question, some women are shy. Personally, I prefer naked with the lights on. My second choice would be naked with a dim light or candle, but everyone is different. Some women love it when a man starts cupping and touching her genitals while she still has her clothes on. Others love it when a man teases them by going through all the stages of clothing. First on top of the clothing, then on top of the panties, then by putting his hand into the panties to touch naked skin, and finally when she is totally naked. The first few times you are with a woman, you might opt for dim lighting. Another thing to keep in mind is the temperature of the room. If it's the dead of winter, and you are planning to bring a woman home and want to be able to lie across a bed without any clothes, remember to set your thermostat accordingly. I know you know all this, but it has to be said. Take a look in some medical journals at pictures of women's genitals. Think of them as maps. Before you go any further, make sure you know where everything is. Women don't like feeling as though they are experiments for a science lab. It's important that touching her genitals is something you want to do and that you convey that to her. You can do this with words, telling her that you find her beautiful and that you love the way she feels. You can do it with your eyes by gazing into hers with passion. You can do it with your lips by kissing her on the lips or on her body as you touch her genitals. You can show your excitement and passion for her genitals by the way you breathe and the expression on your face. The following are some suggestions for how to make touching her genitals a good experience for both of you. Have some lubrication available. You may not need it, but you should have some choices available. There are several good choices. Ask your partner if she has a preference. A water-based lubricant like KY Jelly or Astroglide is all-purpose, particularly if you are planning to have sex afterwards using a condom or a diaphragm. I personally like mineral oil, but because it is petroleum-based, it can and will destroy latex. That means you shouldn't use any petroleum-based product, such as Vaseline or mineral oil, if you are using condoms, diaphragms, or cervical caps. Some women say that they are sensitive to petroleum products. Others say that KY and Astroglide make them itch. Other possible choices that may be less irritating are natural oil-based products, including vegetable oils, nut oils, butter, and Crisco. Be aware that these will stain your sheets. And again, don't use these with condoms, diaphragms, or cervical caps. Also, don't make the mistake of using massage oils on the genitals, unless the bottle specifically tells you that the ingredients are safe for internal use. Before you start, breathe a few times. Remind yourself not to be too rough or aggressive, or you risk triggering the stress, flight, or fight response. Keep your touch slow and gentle. When touching her genitals, start out as slowly as you can. Keep your fingers, wrist, and hands as relaxed as possible. You can always speed up your touch or touch her more firmly as she gets more aroused or indicates that is what she wants. Begin your stroking and massaging on the outer edges of her body and work your way toward her clitoris and vagina. Kiss her. Hold her hands. Kiss her hands. Stroke her back and hips before you focus on the genitals. The bonding this establishes between you will make her more responsive. Here's another reason for doing this. It promotes blood flow toward the genitals. This will cause her clitoris and vaginal lips to fill and swell. The vagina should begin to lubricate as well. Don't be nervous about experimenting with different positions. Perhaps you want to start by facing each other so you can kiss while you are touching her. You could also move down between her legs so that you can look at her vagina while you're touching it. If you start touching her vagina and you can feel that she's wet enough to insert your finger without forcing it, you probably won't need to use extra lubrication. But it can be fun to do so. Just ask her what she wants. While you are touching her genitals, she may reciprocate by reaching down to touch your penis, which is great. If she doesn't, use this time to fully explore her genitals. You don't have any pressure to use your penis or perform. Just get some quality time with her clitoris and vagina. Encourage her to just lie back and relax, and tell you what movements she likes best. How to stimulate vaginal lubrication. The key to vaginal lubrication is found in an area inside the vagina called the anterior fornix erogenous zone. That's an intimidating name, so we will call it the A spot. It's located on the front wall of the vagina between the G spot and the cervix. Researchers now believe that this area is responsible for producing most of a woman's vaginal lubrication. When a woman likes what a man is doing and begins to feel aroused, her genitals respond accordingly. As her level of arousal increases, blood flows to the middle layer of the vagina, causing the vaginal walls to swell up. This in turn literally pushes lubrication through the inner layer of the vagina. As this begins to happen, the clitoris also swells up and becomes erect. Yes, a woman also has erectile tissue. But when a woman gets an erection, it's not just her clitoris that becomes swollen. There is a whole other mushy area of erectile tissue known as the vaginal sponge. This area encompasses the base of the clitoris, the tissue surrounding the G-spot, and the tissue surrounding the urethra and vaginal opening. If you rub a woman's A-spot, you get two rewards. Her vagina will lubricate, and the vaginal sponge will swell. This makes the vagina feel very tight, supple, and velvety. Something you'll appreciate even more when you start having actual intercourse. To stimulate a woman's A-spot, gently insert a finger, lubricated of course, into her vagina as far as it will comfortably go. Keep your fingers and hand relaxed and rub ever so gently between the G-spot and the cervix. Use the whole length of your finger. Still confused about where the A-spot is? Remember that the A-spot is on the front wall of the vagina. When you touch the front wall, you are touching her abdomen, but from the inside. Do this for a few minutes and see how much lubrication it creates. Some women, of course, lubricate very little. With others, you might have to hang on to the side of the mattress so you don't get washed overboard like George Clooney in The Perfect Storm. Asking her what she wants. Learning to talk to your partner about her sexual preferences is part and parcel of being a good and confident lover. Most women like to talk about what they want, but find it hard to initiate these conversations. They are typically happy when a man is confident enough to encourage them to do so. If you are lucky enough to be sitting in the center of a room surrounded by women who were masturbating, you would discover that there are a wide variety of different ways for a woman to touch herself. Some women use one hand. Some use two. Some women stimulate the clitoris with one hand while they use the other to apply pressure to the opening of the vagina. Some prefer to masturbate with a dildo or a vibrator. Some women like to masturbate in the tub, using water from the shower or faucet, to provide additional stimulation on the clitoris. When you touch a woman's genitals, as I suggested, I can guarantee that she will be aroused and stimulated. However, there may still be something more or different that she would like you to do. Asking a woman about her sexual needs can be a bit tricky. Here are some suggestions. Try to convey your passion and your enthusiasm for your partner. Say something like, "I really want to get to know everything about you. Let me know how you want me to touch you." Ask her to show you, as in, "Take my hand and put it exactly where you want it to be. Move my hand exactly the way you want me to move it." Ask her, "Do you want me to put my finger here or here? Where is it best?" Ask her to tell you, "Do you want it slower? Faster?" Be very careful not to express any judgments or disdain for what she says. Don't get a sarcastic tone, whatever she tells you. Don't say anything like, "You want me to do what? Are you crazy?" If you are really turned off by something she suggests, offer an alternative suggestion. Get comfortable talking about sex. Don't be embarrassed. And whatever you do, don't start making jokes to hide your feelings. Find words that you are both comfortable about using. It helps if you and your partner can find ways of describing body parts, and it helps if you can find ways to describe what you are doing. There are so many names that we use for our genitals. Both you and your partner might be happy retaining the technical penis, clitoris, and vagina, but you might also want to experiment. If you're going to use slang terms and nicknames, keep in mind that most women don't like ones that sound degrading and prefer those that convey affection. Telling her what you want. Most women find it a total turn-on when a man shows her how to touch his body, particularly if it is done in an intimate way. Try to keep what you are doing and saying personal. You can, for example, gaze into her eyes, then take her hand while holding her gaze and say, "Let me show you how I like it best." Hold the eye contact as much as possible. This is about developing communication between you and your partner. By the way, don't ever say anything like, "This is how Debbie did it," or "Let me show you how Mary used to suck my balls." Women don't like it if they feel that men are simply using their partner's bodies without any intimacy. They like sex to be an intimate and erotic experience between two people. What that means is that they hate it when a man gets overly instructional, as in, "Touch here, touch there," without conveying a feeling of connection. Some sentences that you can use are, "I'd love to have you touch me here. I love the way your hands feel on my body. Could you put them on my..." "You have such a sensual mouth. I'd love to feel it on my..." Don't be afraid to express what you like and show your partner what you want. In the context of a close relationship, helping a partner explore your sensuality is a good thing. Don't forget about your mouth and tongue. We've put so much focus on what to do with your hands that I don't want you to forget that you also have a mouth. Use it. Mouth-to-skin contact is an erotic and sensual experience for both partners. Don't limit your mouth to kissing. Use your tongue to explore parts of her body that you might never have thought of as sensual. Kiss the inside of her elbow, and then use your tongue to draw a line down to her wrist. Kiss her shoulder, and use your tongue to guide you to a nipple. Treat her like she's a piece of delicious fruit that you want to suck and draw into your mouth. Trust me, she'll like it. Helping your partner relax. Marissa and Frank have been together about a year. They are very attracted to each other, and sex is always great. They see each other mostly on weekends because Marissa, a single mother, often has babysitting issues during the week. It's Saturday night, and Frank has been looking forward to seeing Marissa all week. She is coming to his house for dinner, and he expects that it will be a romantic, sexy evening. Marissa's son is spending the weekend with his father, and Frank is positive that as soon as Marissa walks through the door of his apartment, they will both be ready to fling off their clothes and hop into bed. He sure is. But surprise! When Marissa walks through the door, she is annoyed and short-tempered. Her ex-husband was late, her son was cranky, and as Marissa was leaving her house, her mother had phoned with a series of strange demands. Marissa looks as though she is more in the mood for kickboxing than sex. But despite the way she looks, Frank is still not sure. It's possible that some physical contact would help Marissa relax. Both men and women need to be at least a little bit relaxed in order to be receptive to touch. It's difficult to get aroused when you're totally stressed. You know how a car with a manual transmission has to go through neutral to get to the higher gears? Well, your body has to do the same thing. One of the things a man sometimes has to do is learn to assess his partner's mood to know whether she is receptive to touch. In the last chapter, I talked about how to use nonverbal communication in a situation with a new partner. It's equally important that you use it in situations with your long-term girlfriend or wife. You need to let her nonverbal communication tell you what her current mood state is and whether she's receptive to having sex. Let's say you really don't have a clue as to her mood because she's not telling you, and she's not really putting out anything in the way of nonverbal messages, positive or negative. Throw out a line and do a little fishing. Let's say the feeling between you is generally positive, or at least neutral and not negative. Use eye gaze and touch to try to intensify the positive feelings in the situation. Put an arm around her and look into her eyes. If she gazes back, I see nothing wrong with moving ahead. If she detaches or pulls away, don't push it. Back off. She's not in a sexual mood yet. Better to start by suggesting something that is relaxing. Suppose your partner comes home from work and she's visibly stressed out and upset. Because you're a nice guy, your first impulse might be to give her a hug. With some women, this is a terrific thing to do. With others, however, touch might intensify the negativity of the situation. Most women appreciate it when you give them a chance to take off their shoes and relax a little. If your partner is tense, put your sexual agenda on hold. Pour her a glass of wine. Listen to what's upsetting her, and allow her time to unwind. Try to breathe in a calm, even way. Pace your voice to help her relax. Emotions are contagious, and we all influence each other's emotional state. But if one person is in an up mood while the other is in a down mood, one person's emotional state may take over. What will determine whose mood ends up controlling the emotional energy between you? Some people seem to have a greater chance of influencing someone else's mood, while others are just naturally more suggestible or easily influenced. In the end, though, the main factor is intention. If you are motivated to change your partner's mood, there is a good chance you will be able to do so. So, if your partner is in a crummy mood, your challenge is to lift her up, as opposed to getting pulled down. There is a wide variety of things that a man can do to help a woman relax and transition to a better space. Think about things that will bring you closer and help you communicate. How about any of the following? Taking a walk together, taking a nap together, or taking a bath together. Masturbation with a partner. Touching ourselves sexually is a totally intimate experience. Sharing it with a partner will, almost by definition, deepen and intensify our sense of connection and trust. There are several ways to approach this experience. You could say, "I think we would be closer if we could masturbate together." Or, "I want to know how you give yourself sexual pleasure so I could learn." Or, "I want you to see how I touch myself so that you can know more about me." Some couples like to start out masturbating next to each other and making eye contact while they do so. Another way is for each partner to masturbate alone while the other watches. Sometimes the watcher can join in by cuddling, holding, kissing, or caressing the partner who is masturbating. Sometimes when two people are masturbating and making contact as they do so, they get so turned on that they end up having intercourse anyway, which is fine. It is a good idea, though, to learn more about your partner's masturbatory style. It will help your lovemaking. Cuddling, caressing, and kissing a partner who is masturbating are ways of expressing unconditional acceptance. Masturbating together can also show total acceptance. Masturbating in front of someone is a very trusting thing to do. When you do this, I think it's helpful to discuss some of your feelings about masturbating together. You don't want it to become your little secret that never gets talked about, because that defeats the concept of intimacy. Mutual masturbation can be very helpful on those nights when you are both too tired and stressed to have sex, but still would benefit from sexual release. Remember that mutual masturbation is not about retreating from your partner into your own universe. It's about sharing and becoming closer.